Oma Gyanatimirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Sva Padantekam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shivishaka Anvitam Sta Hey Krishna Karuna Sindo Dinabando Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Brindabaneshwari Rishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye. Okay, Vancha Kalpa Turhubhyas Cha Kripa Sindhubhye Vacha Patidnam Pavanebhyo Vishnabhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasari Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Okay, so now we're going to have an overview of Bhagavad Gita. So, somebody's going to be the Sankhya man here. Who's a good analyst? You're an analyst there? Got a pencil and paper? Somebody. Every single chapter, we got to make note of how many verses there are and how many pages there are. Who's going to do that? Huh? You want to do it? Okay. Yeah, pencil, paper? Pen, paper? We're going to get it. Okay. Okay. So we're going to do a whole overview. I see I'm picking everybody's brains here. This is my way of getting this without. Okay. So, first question, first overview. How many chapters are there in Bhagavad Gita? 18. Okay. And how many squares do I have in my piece of paper here? Huh? Let's see what I got here. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. 16. 17, 18, 19, 20. Okay. So, I have an overview of Bhagavad Gita in 40 minutes or like that. Now, this is a Bhakti Shastri level, which will be a very big challenge for Vaisheshika Prabhu. I'm writing my Bhakti Shastri study guide, and I keep having to like... You'll get to that later, Hanuman. Don't talk about that. Just, we'll get to that later because you want to see everything you know and all these things like that. It's no. Bhakti Shastri is high school level, right? High school, like that. You know? Yeah. So, okay. Besides the, I got here, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 9, 13, and then 17. Yeah, okay, and then besides the 18 chapters, what else is in this book? That's a big substantial part of this book.
Introduction.
So we got the introduction. Okay, and then what else we got in here? Huh?
Index.
Okay, how big is the index?
It's huge.
Yeah, look at that. Yeah, there's an index of Sanskrit verses. So you can look them up right away, and you're paying for this, so use it. You know. That's how big the this is. Well, index of quoted verses. My God, okay. And finally, the general index. You know, it's big, a substantial part of the book, like that. You know, and so you can check it out. When I look for something, is it actually there? Is it actually a good index? Because sometimes indexes are a complete waste of time. Okay,
Hari Bol.
You know, it's useless like that. So is it a good index or not? You know, why waste your time finding something if somebody else has already indexed it? And maybe you want to add to the, make your own index like that to find things you need like that, you know. Okay. So we've got the introduction, the index. Okay. Okay. Now what do you want to say about the, what's for Bhakti Shastri level, what should we think about the introduction? They actually don't even test for it in BIHE. They don't even read it. You know? Yeah. Is it worth reading? Yeah. I've heard people say, and it's my experience, that you can't outline it. The Prabhupada just seems to go from one point to another, like in this kind of like that tangent, like that. Yeah. Is it your experience, or you just? Yeah, see how he'll discuss this idea, you know, go to that idea, then suddenly they'll go to something else, apparently that, you know. Yeah. But it covers many, many things, no? Yeah. How many pages in the introduction? You're our page man there. Okay. See, you can tell us afterwards. Huh? Okay. And the preface is also, is it preface by Prabhupada? Yeah, originally I wrote Bhagavad Gita in the form. So this goes from page, this goes to page XX, which if you speak Latin, it goes from page 17 to page 20. So it's three pages. Yeah.
Four pages,
thank you. Yeah. And the introduction is how many pages? 30 or 31. We have a little argument here. It's okay, though. Yeah. 31. Okay, 31 they say. Okay. Yeah. Okay. So that's pretty substantial. Yeah, 31 pages is a good size. Has it been printed as a separate book?
Yes.
Yeah. Separate little book like that. And I know one motel owner in Chimambai Patel in Sacramento, he bought like a case of those and put them in all of his rooms and said, take this with you. And so he was distributing like, you know, some Bhagavad Gita introductions like that to all of his people come to his hotels like that, you know. It's a nice little book, you know. Hari's story, so he was wondering, what is life, everything else? And he got this, got the Bhagavad Gita, and he read the introduction, and he just, again, he couldn't put it down. He was just reading it. It was totally absorbed, totally convinced, and he went and saw devotees like that. So I think he said that Prabhupada wrote this when he was in New York. He dictated it when he was in New York in that little room he had in this, you know, office building with no bath like that. And, you know, preached to the walls. He didn't know who was going to read it, who was going to do anything else like that, but that's how it was produced like that. And so then later on, if at least one person was completely, you know, made into a devotee by that effort like that, you know. So it has a very nice history, you know. To me, it's like something I would say to Bhakti Shastri, read it, pick it. What are some of the prominent points there? What comes to your mind? What does Prabhupada talk about prominently?
Introduction?
Yeah. Is that the preface or that is the introduction? Okay. Yeah. Okay.
What's the need for another Bhagavad Gita?
Okay. Now, this is Bhakti Shastri. Got one little square here. Okay. No, it's okay. Yeah, it's most important. And what is the reason for the Gita, another Gita?
That there have been many editions of the Bhagavad Gita, but none of them
were
done.
Yeah. So this is called As It Is. Okay. Another point he makes there in the introduction? Another topic?
About diverting the mind, how the mind has to be diverted to to the Vedic literatures because we're being stalked by the tigress of death.
Okay.
And then at any minute we can die, and therefore the Vedic literatures, like Bhagavad Gita, have been given so we can divert our mind from mundane topics.
Okay.
And be absorbed in Krishna and go back to Godhead.
And Sanatana Dharma, no? He talks a lot about that, a whole long section about what is Sanatana Dharma. Okay. So, I don't know. It's other things. At least you can block out three, four points that a neophyte should, like, notice. And
thing
one
like that. Thing Prabhupada mentions in there is the attitude one has to have in order to understand Bhagavad Gita.
Ah.
And he makes a far-out point. He says, even if you don't accept Krishna as God, if you want to understand Bhagavad Gita, at least theoretically understand, accept it as you're reading it.
Yeah.
And then you'll understand the conversation between Krishna and Arjuna and the points that Krishna's trying to make.
Carl Jung said, a big psychologist, he said, I don't know if there's a God or not. I want to be honest. I don't know. I'm trying to investigate it very sincerely, but I don't know if there's a God or not. But as a psychologist, I do know that if you don't believe in God, you'll go mad. Like that. So even Bertrand Russell said the same thing. You know? So, but Prabhupada's saying the same thing, is that if you cannot understand this book, at least you don't theoretically accept this idea of God. You can't get any kind of look at it. You know? Okay. Attitude. Okay. Okay, another Gita. Sanatana Dharma, not systematic, and attitude. Okay. If it's enough, again, this is Bhakti Shastri level. We're going to go through this again and again and again. It's not just one time we read the books to death. That was a problem in the previous educational system in ISKCON. Forget it. Bhagavad Gita is finished. No. We're going to go through it again, again, to Bhakti Bhai Bhava, like that. Okay, chapter one. What's in chapter one? How many parts in chapter one? Two parts, he says here. Okay, this is your chapter. You're flying the airplane here. Okay, what are the two parts in chapter one? Yeah. What is the first part? What happens in the first part? Well, that starts off Sanjaya and Dhritarashtra. He just real quickly says what happened. Then after that, he says, "Oh, then Krishna and Arjuna." Yeah. Okay. So the first part is just kind of like the historical context, no? There's a historical context and, you know, this and that. That's what I think. Oh. And then Arjuna starts to lament, you know? A-R-J-L-M-N-T. And then Krishna starts to preach to him? No. Doesn't he a little bit in the first chapter? Yeah. In the second chapter is where he actually surrenders and becomes his disciple. But before that, isn't, I got to ask our experts here.
He just said he's anticipating Arjuna's reaction when Arjuna asked Krishna to take him to, let's see who's here, who's come to fight. Krishna's smiling in anticipation of Arjuna's reaction. But I think that's all.
Okay, so there's nothing there then. Okay, I learned something. You know. So but basically it's just a setting the scene. And then Arjuna's lamentation, like that. This is Bhakti Shastri level. We're going to go through this the first semester, our students, like Srivasar, we're going to go through this just like that in overview. Then the second semester, first six chapters, third semester, next six chapters, fourth semester, another six chapters in depth like that. Yeah. Okay, chapter two.
Right.
Oh, how many pages in chapter one? This is a battle, man. You can't fail your position. How many texts and how many pages? We'll get back to you. How many texts and how many pages? Yeah. Let the captain take care of it over there. Yeah. Okay. So chapter two, how many parts in chapter two? How many prominent things stand out in chapter two? Again, Bhakti Shastri. Yeah, just in general. We can have a brainstorming here and come back down to something, you know. So what happens in chapter two? Yeah.
First is Arjuna's lamentation and then surrendering to Krishna, finding that he can't find any relief. And at that point, Krishna begins to instruct him. And the first thing Krishna begins to instruct him is on the nature of the soul, and that part is called Sankhya.
Sankhya.
So discrimination between matter and spirit.
Okay, he does that.
Then he introduces Karma Yoga.
Buddha Yoga.
Buddha Yoga.
Yeah, Karma Yoga. And that's it, huh?
Yeah.
Okay.
And it's 72 verses, I think.
How many texts in chapter one? 46 texts. And how many pages? 33. Okay, because we're going to get a page-to-text ratio, and you can make a nice graph and see which purports have longer thing. And so chapter two, how many texts? 72. How many pages?
78.
Huh? 78. Okay. So we're running pretty close, yeah. Okay, in chapter one, are there any verses? Any prominent verses in chapter one? Maybe just the very first one like that. Dharma Kshetra, Kuru Kshetra, Samaveda. Number one. Chapter two, any prominent verses? Bhakti Shastri. What do you say? What's the one you should learn there? Yeah, the same one. Yeah. What verse number is that? Huh? turn back to the verse-by-verse index. Who's going to be our verse-by-verse? Oh, you're there. Okay, you're the verse-by-verse index guy. Look in the back of the book. 213. Index of Sanskrit verses. Is that it? Yeah. Dehino. A, B, C, D. It's 213, though, huh? De. Dehino sminyata de. Hey, 213. Okay. So you got 213. And also the definition of bhakti yoga. Oh, nihabi kramo nasyo sti. On this path, there's no loss or definition. What verse number is that?
41.
Okay, 241.
That's
40. Huh? It's 40? Okay. And the one of those is actually the definition of bhakti yoga, buddhi yoga. You have a right to do your duty, but don't be attached to the result, and don't think that you're the cause of the result. That's muy famous, muy famous, very famous. Carmony? I don't know it, yeah. Okay. It's okay. You're generating the curriculum here for the next 4,000 years. Okay. So 213, 240, and 247. Huh? This is too many. I'm sorry. It's closed. But one thing that I would include here is nityo nityanam chetanas chetananam eko bahunam yobidadati kaman. And Prabhupada quotes that many, many times. So Bhagavad Gita as it is, we can also pull verses out of the purports. So I would say even at the very beginning level, that's a really essential verse. You know. Where's that from? Katha Upanishad. What's the text number? Yeah. Probably in verses cited, you can find it, huh? I guess we're not going to do the whole thing tonight. That's okay. Yeah. 81? Page 81. Oh, yeah. This Gita, they have it. Okay. It's in text number 212. How was I able to find it so quickly? Because the text number is, it's not here. It's 2213, right? So it's almost quoted in 213, but it's actually quoted in 212, like that. The Katha Upanishad is divided in two parts, big parts, and then the second part is also divided in two parts, like that. So it's 2-2, verse number 13. And this verse, I've heard devotees use this the guy just fell apart. He's a big Sanskrit. He's very arrogant. Is it Bharati? Yeah. And then Hridayanamar just quoted this verse, and the man just fell apart. Like he was like just collapsed. It was crazy. Like he'd become a monkey or something. It was really frightening, you know. Why did you quote that verse? Why did you quote that verse? My spiritual master told me to, you know. Because it's so clear. Yeah. Nityo nityanams, right? Amongst all the eternals. I can't do it. But this verse is also very clear. And it's double trouble for the Mayavadis, right? 2-2-13. Yes, double bad luck for the Mayavadis. 2-2-13. No, because if you're arguing with these big Sanskritists and stuff like that, if you can quote, well, the Katha, the Katha says in 2-2-13, nityo nityanams, nityanams, like that. So I would put that in there. It's a really essential verse. It's my taste. Every teacher has his own way of teaching Bhagavad Gita. That's what we're emphasizing. So you develop your own way. Okay, third chapter. We're not going to make it. We're not going to make it. We're not going to make it. Third chapter is what? Yeah. What happens in the third chapter here? I guess. Okay, anybody else want to summarize the third chapter? Okay, ladies. No? No? There you go. Okay, we're going to do it. What's in the third chapter? Huh? Yeah. What is it? It starts off with what? Third chapter starts with? Yeah. And what is this? Well, there you go. What is this question, basically? Yeah. So you have to understand that point. I would say the first question. Yeah. Yeah. You have to understand that question. Yeah, and then the chapter is thing. And then what happens then? Krishna gives his answer. Yeah. You know? Yeah. He he Prabhupada says that then Krishna gives vritti, he gives professional devotional service. In chapter 2, he's explained it, but it's, you can't act upon it. It's not detailed enough. So in chapter 3, he explains, okay, what devotional service means is do your duty in Varna Ashram for me, like that. If you're a woman raising your children, raise your children for me. If you're a Kshatriya, what do Kshatriyas do? They protect damsels in distress, right? That's every warrior's idea, is to save beautiful women from difficult situations like that. That's the whole thing, right? You know, so Draupadi's in this problem, and you know, so that's it. You should be a Kshatriya. You know, all living beings subsist upon, and food grains come from, and rain comes from, the sacrifice comes from, and prescribed duties are found in. Yeah, and so therefore, you know, the eternal out transcendence is in the Dharma like that. So then I'll call this rain, grain. Yeah, okay. And that's it? I don't know. Is there any more? There's more after that, huh?
In there, Arjuna asked Krishna, why is one compelled to...
Ah, okay,
duties?
Yeah.
Krishna gives
the secret to overcoming lust. Yeah, that's a nice sequence. But it's something in between those two, I think, right? A section about, you know, the food grains, and after that there's a section, I think, about, he talks about karma or something like that, more like that, you know. The chat, what's the title of the chapter? Yeah. And so and what is karma? What is the difference between karma and dharma? In the reference to this chapter. You know? Because the word karma appears again and again and again. If you notice it like that, you go through looking, it says karma, karma, karma ni, karma, karma. Yeah. So really it's karma yoga. Yeah.
Krishna defines it in another chapter.
Ah, okay. Yeah.
I think it's 13. He says that karma is those activities that cause us to
die. Yeah. Activity related to the bodies. Here, as far as I can understand, karma is the same as dharma. Kshatriya karma, Kshatriya dharma. Engage in your Kshatriya karma, you know. But karma is a little bit more related to the activities that Kshatriya should do, and dharma is a little bit more related to the nature of being it like that. So here is like he's talking about Brahmana karma, Stri karma, you know, Kshatriya karma, like that. And it's not just a thing of good karma, bad karma. It's a thing. Karma is a certain complex, you know, of things you act improperly like that. Okay, chapter 4. Oh, how many pages in chapter... Okay, 53 pages, and how many verses? Okay. Chapter 4. What's the title?
What?
Yeah. Oh, okay. I got something there. Then what happens there in this chapter? How does it start? Chapter 4. Yeah.
The history of the Bhagavad Gita.
Yeah. So, okay, so in chapter 3, I think it's 330. I would say you should learn 330. But that's where Krishna, for the first time, says, do it all for me, like that. And he also talks about the liberated soul. That's it. That's what, yeah. People who, he goes through these different kinds of people who act. Janak Maharaj, yeah. So he's identified himself as being a liberated soul. He doesn't have anything to do. But in chapter 4, I think it's really the first where he really begins to describe himself as being different than even from liberated souls like that, you know. And you know, and he says in the beginning, so there's a history. There's a history of the Gita, and then Krishna's position. Yeah. Okay. Then what else is there in chapter 4? Yeah, by parampara. Uh-huh. Yeah. It's nice. Yeah. In chapter 5? Well, how many texts in chapter 4?
29.
Okay, text equal 29. And per pages?
29.
Oh, okay. It's one page per. Okay. Then chapter 5?
Was it 42 texts?
No, 42.
42 texts. Okay. And chapter 5?
Chapter 5 is 29 texts and 29 pages.
Okay. That's short, huh? Wow. And that, what's the title for that one? It's what our examination is going to be. Scramble up the titles and have the numbers and like that, you know. We'll get across them. Yeah. So what is there? This one, for five?
He explains how action in Krishna consciousness is better.
Yeah.
Sankhya.
It's kind of a repeat of chapter 3. And that's kind of my impression. I, you know, Bhagavad Gita is not my book. That's Bori John there. It's like, have a debate with Bori John on Bhagavad Gita. So that's, to my impression, I don't know. Again, it seems like he's going over the same thing he discussed in chapter 3. He's going over again like that. You know. So any verses in chapter? Oh, chapter 4 was should be part Avam Param Param Paptam. Yeah, what verse is that? Avam Param Param Paptam Imam. Yeah. It's number 2? Yeah.
2.
Okay. And 5? 5 is that karma, yoga, action, and Krishna consciousness. Maybe to my limited intelligence, it's a repeat of chapter 3. But now, this is how it is. You go through these and you think, let me go back and actually read this thing and look at the summaries and stuff like that. Chapter 6? Okay. Chapter 6, what is the title? Yeah, yoga. Dhyan yoga, like that. Yeah. And so, Krishna talks about what? Yeah, meditation. Yeah, dhyana yoga. Yeah. And any texts there, prominent? Yeah. How many texts in chapter 6? 47. And how many pages?
57.
Okay. So text number 47. Who knows this text? Text number 47. The conclusion of the chapter. The whole conclusion is? You got it there. Yogi namapi sarvesham. Madgate antaratmanam. Shradavam bhajate yo mam. Same yukta mo tataha. Translation.
And of all yogis, the one with great faith who always abides in me, think of me within himself and renders transcendental loving service to me. He is the most intimately united with me in yoga and is the highest of all. Yeah. That is my opinion.
So there's the conclusion about yoga. Because so many people have interest in yoga. Everybody asks. I went to the bank today and she said, oh, you're from the yoga center? And there's a yoga, Pamela's yoga center or something. It's just near the bank down here. So, she thought that we were from that yoga center, you know. Yeah. So this is a very nice definition of what is yoga. Right there. Okay. In chapter 7. This is a really rich chapter, huh? Chapter 7 is just intense, yeah. Yeah, oh, okay. Ah, okay. Because the first 6 chapters are more like karma, analytical, and then chapters 7 through 12 is pure bhakti. And after that again, like that. So how does chapter 7, what does it include? Is there some kind of... What's the title? Huh? So in Sanskrit?
Vijnana Yoga.
Vijnana Yoga. Wow. Okay. So what verses are?
Well, the first verse is the most quoted verse the Prabhupada gave out of the Bhagavad Gita.
Oh, what is it?
Maya Sakta Mara Parta
Yoga. Oh. Okay. Okay. Wow, so many things in that verse. Tachrinu. Yeah. I will now explain to you how you can fix your mind upon me, like this and that. Because in chapter 6, he says, fix your mind upon me. So in chapter 7, he says, right? So I will explain to you, right, how to do this like that. Yeah. So many verses there. One verse that comes to my mind is, Bhumir Apo Nalo Vayu, you know, like that verse. What text number is that? 4? Okay. And then other verses, oh, so many. The four kinds of pious people, you know. Yeah. Wow. It's such a, you know, sophisticated chapter like that. I know. It's like that. It's just like the whole, that chapter, there's so many things Krishna discusses. Yeah. Then what else? Is there, there's a, the boomer apple becomes because Krishna is describing how to meditate upon me, different elements like that. Yeah.
So describing in that chapter that how do you find Bhagavan, that in the taste of the water and the and the sun and the moonlight and
so that's called pantheism. Pantheism, and of course in chapter 10 is in great detail like that. Yeah. Okay. How many texts?
30.
Text equal 32, and pages equal
23.
We're going to make it. Okay. Text. Chat. 13 pages? 30. 43 pages. 43 and 32 texts.
Okay.
36. 30. Okay. 30 and 43. Okay. Text number 8. What is the title for this?
Being Supreme.
Yeah. So what is in there?
That is first is two questions by Arjuna asking about 8 questions, and then Krishna answers those questions throughout the 8th chapter.
What are the questions?
He wants to know what are the demigods?
Oh, okay.
How the enjoyer, the supreme enjoyer, is within
everyone's
heart.
So that's continuing from chapter 7, right?
Yeah, yeah. Because of the last verse.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, yeah. Demigods. Okay, explains all those things. And he also is also some more pantheistic descriptions.
In 8, no, but no. He goes into the why a bhakti yogi doesn't care what time he leaves his body.
Yeah,
that's important.
A little bit back to the dhyana thing again, like that. But why devotee doesn't care about these things?
So why are the chapters divided?
Why or how?
8th page is the extension of 7. Like, why are the chapters divided? Why not?
I don't know. You have to ask Vyasadeva. I don't know, because it's like, you know, I don't know, in the Mahabharata, I guess they're divided in the Mahabharata, I guess so. Yeah. Well, maybe because it's a question. He says this, and then Arjuna asks, well, give me more detail. So it starts off a whole new discussion like that. Yeah. Prabhupada says it's a very emotional book. He said, you can't understand it unless you understand it. It's a very emotional book. Because after this, you have to go home and kill your father and mother. You know, your grandfather, your teacher, your cousins, your nephews. It's very, you know, see, it's very intense. You know, like that. You know, so, you know, Arjuna is asking him, are you sure you're God? You want to kill all these people. I want to know, are you sure that you are God? Like that. He says, yeah, I'm sure I'm God. Like that. Because we're going to get a lot of problems if you're not God after this is all over, you know. Like that. So he shows him like that, Virat Rupa. He says, okay, I'm convinced like that, you know. Yeah. Okay, text number 9. I'm not gonna make it.
Chapter 8, right?
Wait, how many pages in chapter 8? 15? 50. And text, how many texts?
28.
Okay. Chapter 9? The most confidential knowledge, isn't it? Okay. And of course, the very, was it Raja Vidya, Raja Guyam, like that? Yeah. Manmana.
It's all about devotion.
Manmana. Okay. Okay. How many texts in chapter 9?
34.
How many pages?
49.
Okay. Oh, this is pretty dense. And then chapter 10, okay, this one I know. Here in the beginning, he's talking about who he is, and then Arjuna asks, please give me details like that, how I can meditate on you. And the 4 nutshell verses are there, 108, 109, 10.8, 10.9 to 10.12. Yeah. And then there's, pantheism. I'm the taste in wine, I'm the taste in water. Among fish, I am the shark. Vibhuti Matsava, you know, specific, Virat Rup. Kind of before that. Well, specific energetic incarnations. Yeah. Like that. Okay. And then in chapter 11, How many texts? How many texts in chapter 10? 22. 42. Okay. How many pages?
42.
Well, okay. And chapter 11 then? Then Krishna, Arjuna says, okay, in the last chapter you said, hey, you're the Paramatma, you're everywhere. Show me that, right? So in chapter 11 he shows his Paramatma feature. Yeah. The Virat Rup Darshan, like that. And he shows his four-handed form and his two-handed form. Yeah. Yeah. And that's very important because in Krishna shows something is more than this, just like this Virat Rup like that. Chapter 12? Oh yeah, okay. How many verses in chapter 11?
55.
And how many pages?
62.
62, okay. And chapter 12? Devotional service. Yeah? Yeah? And so Arjuna asks a question, right?
Yeah, which is better?
Sankhya?
Personal or impersonal?
Yeah. Sankhya, an analytical thing, or bhakti? It's the same question as before, right? Yeah, but now he said definitely. This time he says definitely though, right? Please just tell me definitely. Yeah. Okay. And then Krishna finishes by giving, you know, the qualities of a devotee like that. Yeah. How many pages in chapter 12?
21.
Okay. How many texts?
20.
Okay. 13. So this is
super soul.
Yeah. What's the word? It's kshetra kshetrajna. Okay, 13. Any verses there? Yeah. And this is very analytical chapter about the goal of knowledge, everything else like that. So how many pages in chapter 13? You got there?
40.
40, okay. And how many texts?
35.
Okay, yeah. Okay, in chapter 14?
Three modes of material nature.
And that's about, okay, yeah. Yeah. That comes out of, no, it doesn't, it comes out of maybe chapter 13, a little bit like that. Yeah, yeah. And you don't have time to go through that. But there's some points to understand the three modes and how they're competing, right? And if you take birth in the mode of ignorance, what kind of birth do you get? Sanskrit. Yeah? Yeah, mudha janma, mudha janma, ignorance now. Yeah, yeah. Okay, then three modes of material nature. Chapter 15. How many pages in chapter 14?
26.
And how many texts?
27.
Oh my God! Always are running almost 1-to-1. Chapter 15.
Yoga, the Supreme Person.
Yeah, yeah. And then what starts that off? The purport probably says we've been talking about the modes of nature, which somebody might ask about the Vedas, right? I think it says that. So the chapter is about the Vedas, and it gives an analogy. What's the analogy in chapter? Huh? The banyan tree. Yeah. Yeah. Then after that, he talks about something else after he finishes that analogy. You know what it is? Yeah, but he kind of goes into a different kind. He finishes the analogy off and he does something else.
About how you change bodies.
Yeah, yeah.
And how uneducated people can't see the change of body.
Yeah, that's one thing we see again and again. Krishna does contrast. He says, you follow this, you get this result, but if you don't follow, you get this result. So again and again in Bhagavad Gita, you'll see it's based upon these contrasts like that. He'll talk about it, says, but if you don't, then he goes like that, you know, like that. So many sections in Bhagavad Gita are just contrasting. How many pages in chapter 15?
24.
Okay, how many texts?
20.
Okay, and 16 then?
Oh,
16, 17, 18 are all the same thing, right? They're all like divisions. 16 is divided demoniac? Yeah, Prabhupada says this chapter is called Demons Revealed. Like that. It's very modern. Maybe these descriptions are just like the people in this modern world right now. Sworn to unclean acts, they engage in horrible activities meant to destroy the world. You know, they say there's no cause other than sex desire and no purpose other than sense gratification. It's like exactly the people now.
He talks about the 3 gates.
Ah, 3 gates. Okay. That's a nice verse. How many pages in chapter 16?
26.
Okay. How many chapters?
Next is 24.
Okay. These were German. This is Niyamagraha. And 17?
The divisions of faith.
Okay, divisions of faith. Which again is, there he says, what about somebody who doesn't follow Shastra? Because the thing that determines who's a demon and who's not is if they follow scriptures. That's the final thing. So what about those people who don't? They just worship according to some particular faith. You know, what is their position like that? So he describes in again the three modes of nature like that. How many pages in chapter 17?
22.
Okay, and how many texts?
28.
My God, always the same. Then finally, the 18 is? Compulsive personality. How many pages in chapter 18?
61.
Okay, and how many texts?
78.
Wow, that's big. Well, and this is, what is chapter 18?
Summary.
Yeah, but he continues with the three modes, right? In terms of faith, food, clothing, that kind of stuff. And then he goes to kind of a summary, no? Like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so there's many, many, what, the most important verse there? Yeah. And right before that, mambana bhavamato. Yeah, like that. Okay, we did it, more or less. Yeah. Yeah. I think it's nice for myself, as I like. You know, having like an overview of the whole thing and how, but Prabhupada says unless you worship the deity, you can't understand Bhagavad Gita. You got to have this personal feeling for it. And I would say that it's not controlled just by a logical explanation. It's controlled by Arjuna's. At some point, Krishna can see that Arjuna is becoming depressed. He can't follow him, so he becomes very gentle and says, "Don't worry, this is difficult to understand. Don't be depressed. This is hard to understand. So let me explain it to you again like that." And sometimes also Arjuna becomes a little arrogant, you know, so Krishna kind of talks to him sarcastically and brings him back down like that. So Bhagavad Gita is a very emotional book. It's being guided by different feelings like that. Because you can understand the situation again, it's a very emotional, intense situation like that. And after this, he has to kill, you know, his teacher, right, his sifu, his sensei, his martial arts teacher. Who loves him more than he loves his own son. He knows that. Dronacharya loves me more than he loves his own son. And I'm going to kill him. Yeah, I'm going to kill him using what he taught me. Yeah, so how do you feel about this? I feel really bad. You know? Then he has to kill Bhishma. You know? What did Bhishma ever do bad to Arjuna? Yeah, nothing. He protected them when they were babies like that. You know? I'm going to kill him. And his nephews. Yeah. How can these guys stand against him? You know, these guys are like little children in front of him, and he has to kill all of his nephews like that, and so on. You know, yeah. So it's very, and still Krishna convinces him to do this, right? Yeah. So very intense text. Very what's the word? Very persuasive. Might say this is the ultimate example, the persuasive argument. You know, to convince this guy to do all these things like that, because he's a gentleman. He would rather sacrifice his own life than. He feels more compassion for others than he feels for his own. He feels more compassion than passion. You know, more compassion than passion. So to sacrifice all these people is worse than killing himself. You know? So in the end, when does he accept Krishna's instructions? When does he accept everything Krishna says and he's ready to fight? 18th chapter?
No, for the universal.
Yeah. Sarvam etad. Yeah, I said I totally accept this truth. Everything you said, O Krishna. Where is this? Where is that? 10th chapter. Yeah. So that's actually before he asks about all the detailed manifestations. Yeah. So maybe say that point's where he's convinced. You know. But then Krishna's going to kind of push him over the edge, so he's like super convinced. You know? Sometimes Prabhupada would inspire the disciples, like Tamal Krishna Maharaj, to argue with him. And they would be arguing with Prabhupada, and Prabhupada would be arguing with them and screaming at them, and people would think, oh, don't talk, do that way to Prabhupada, shut up. Like, No, because Prabhupada was pushing them, because then when you go out to fight with somebody, argue with somebody, there's no problem. You've already been through this, you know, with your teacher. You've already been through this kind of problem like that. You've seen like how to react, what everything else like that. You know? So you have to know this. Like you're saying, you have to be able to wake up in the middle of the night and somebody wakes you up and like half awake, half asleep. everything else. You know? You have to know it at heart, because your mind may become bewildered, you know, like that. You know, it's just when you get off the mental platform, when you do Sankirtan. Okay. Shrimad Bhagavad Gita Ki. So tomorrow night, I guess, we're going to maybe do the Isopanishad, maybe a little bit, maybe a little more relaxed. This is Niyamagraha, I think. You know? But thank you very much, because I'm trying to write my summary like that, you know, and I go over it again like that. But not very nice being able to have the whole Gita, you know, right, summarized and stuff like that, and see how the arguments are going like that, put things in their place. Then Friday night, we're going to go on Harinam Sankirtan. And then Saturday morning, we're going to have a human sacrifice right here. Yeah. You can tell the San Jose Mercury News, Hare Krishna's perform human sacrifice Saturday morning. Yeah. Bhakti Chad's going to, it's only a few more days of being Bhakti Chad. You could like that, right? Yeah.
Maybe a guest.
Huh?
Maybe a second?
Yeah, Wayne is getting recommended too, like that. Yeah. And then we're running this a short time. 1 month. Yeah. So then we'll go to Tucson, Houston, Tennessee. I'm going to go to Russia for the second time. You go there. It's interesting. All those evil commies. having grown up in America, you ever see Nightmare in Red? No, you ever see that one? They showed it to us like about 4 or 5 times in Southern California. It was called Nightmare in Red. And they showed all these evil communists taking over Europe. It's a black and white movie, and the end. It shows this guy walking around Vienna putting out these gas lamps, and it says, "The lights are going out all over Europe. We shall not see them relit again in our lifetime." We've got to fight those evil communists. We've got to support the government. So I was mentioning this to one professor in Russia, the same age, and he was laughing. He said, "Yeah, they showed us the same thing." I always remember one movie. It showed like the evil capitalists, like, you know, forcing the poor workers wanted to revolt and have decent living conditions, and the evil capitalists in America were making them work hard and stuff like that. And then at one point, this one policeman killed 3 Negroes. He said, you know, shot them like that. As part of, like, you know, the suppression thing. And I always thought about that. Oh my God! In America, they're killing Negroes and who want to revolt and stuff. You know, but then he said, no, it doesn't didn't happen in Russia. Didn't happen in America. There's so much propaganda. You know? Actually, compared to the Tsarist time, they were much better off under the communist regime, sharing wealth. And now they're going to a whole new thing. So where they're preaching there is very interesting. It's a whole new thing for them. What's going to happen? You know, like that. So adapting Krishna consciousness to your, right, your place, your community. Yare Deke. That's right. Tarika. Krishna Upadesh. Wherever you go, whoever you meet, tell them about Krishna based upon Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. Amar Agnai, on my order, you become guru. The Lord Chaitanya says. Yeah? And deliver your circle. Everybody here has a circle of people they come in contact with. And who's going to save them but you? And so learn Bhagavad Gita, you know. In a way, you know, a practical way like that. To understand the culture, the philosophy, you know. So you can fold the whole thing up and put it in your pocket, and when you need to, you can just, you know, present it like that. So Prabhupada ki. Hare Krishna Maha Mantra ki. Back home, back to Godhead. So now it's Artik.
Thank you for coming back and visiting your home.
Okay.
Hare Krishna Hanumat Prishak Swami ki. Jai. Gopri Manande.
Ki. Jai.